Welcome to the People Show. Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda, and Bik Nizar. In for Dan Riccio. We'll be back soon. Hopefully. He's good. He's fine. This was not out of nowhere time off from Dan Riccio. Like, this was all planned, so he's okay. Everything's going all right. And there are a lot of not saying, just saying submissions coming in still, and there's always extras that come in once the segment kind of ends. And this one, unsigned, says, not saying Reach is not an integral part of the show, just saying, Bik, there it is!
Okay.
So Bik finds his way onto the show, and here he is.
Dan Riccio is an integral member of
yes.
all things
sports. Yes, and that's what the text said, not saying he's not an integral part, right?
Just giving you love, Bik.
He absolutely is an integral part.
Of course. I
can't take any credit. Dan Riccio showed me the ropes, and I'm just here filling in, man.
It's like, you know, well, when a wrestler enters the ropes, you know, some of them take the first rope, the smaller guys. He showed you the first two ropes.
That is such a specific, unbelievable burn.
That's unreal.
What can I say? What can I say, guys?
Some guys take the first rope.
Oh, my goodness. Unreal. David of the Six says, as a visiting outsider, I'm not saying it hasn't been interesting to watch things go from fire the Zamboni driver to Bruce, there it is. I'm just saying, try not to lose the same enthusiasm if your side does not make the playoffs. That's the text coming in. And you know what? That's from David in the Six. It has been a Jekyll and Hyde season, right? And what we're feeling now, and we kind of joked about this, and you know me and my relationship analogies and all that sort of stuff, but it's kind of the infatuation stage in a new relationship, right? New GM president, new head coach, team is playing rejuvenated, and right now nobody can do anything wrong. So there's the pure euphoria infatuation stage right now, and things are great and they're a lot of fun, but you haven't dealt with any crisis yet, right? So that's the stage we're in at the moment.
Yeah, you haven't, like, you know, you haven't gone on, like, a double date yet. You haven't gone to dinner at, like, you know, your best friend and anything like that. Like, this is just the fall in love period early on. Wait till you go on that first trip together and you're around each other 24/7. That's when it falls apart. But, hey, enjoy it. Enjoy it. But,
yeah,
like, in the
no
first
doubt.
Segment, Sat, I have to bring some realities, the yin and the yang, the balance, just to create everything. I'll bring one later on in the show as well, just to make sure we have balance. We are all humble here in Vancouver.
Make sure. I mean, you're the Kendrick Lamar, or at least, you know.
Going to sit down.
trying to keep
be
us
humble.
Trying to keep us humble. All right. One text here from Jesse Nanaimo. Not saying having the day off today was nice, just saying playing some golf on Xbox and listening to you guys makes it a whole lot better. Well, thanks, Jesse, for listening, and hope everything's going all right with you as well. And we're always happy to be here on The People Show on Sportsnet 650. We're going to have Irfan Ghaffar join us here in moments, and we'll talk about the Canucks and everything else going on. And we'll get to the official pregame show at 6:30, Brendan Batchelor and Corey Hirsch for the pregame roundtable, and then, of course, Puck Drop coming up at 7:30. Now, we're going to get Irf on here in a second, and, you know, Pardeep sent a bunch of questions in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. One of the things that he kind of mentioned or asked was, what do you guys think of Paul Maurice, AGM, GM? Could he come in some capacity? I know that's been floated before, guys, but I don't know. Like, I don't think it's absurd that Paul Maurice somehow shows up in some way or another. Like, I wasn't quite sure about that when that came out before. But as time goes on and as we hear more and more things, I don't know. Like, Paul Maurice is a guy to kind of keep an eye on.
Yeah, this is an individual that obviously is linked to Jim Rutherford a fair bit, you know, going back to their days in Carolina. You could tell that press conference that he had in Winnipeg, the situation there was he was a guy that was super honest, very, you know, strong communication skills, understands the game better than probably the 99% of the league. But we've never had this link pop up before. I just wonder if Paul Maurice is at that point where he's saying, is management an option? Or did he just need a different room? Because that leadership group in Winnipeg, you know, they loved him. Blake Wheeler was his voice in that room. But at some point, coach and that voice go stale. It's just we've never heard the links to management before, so that's why I'm a little wary on it. But, you know, everybody makes that move at some point where Rutherford, he was a GM, and he said, no, I want to be president. I'm a little wary because we've never even heard of ambitions to be in that job or in the executive level.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that necessarily means GM or anything, but yeah, something to keep an eye on as time goes on here. We're going to have Irfan Ghaffar join us in just moments, Canucks Insider, the fourth period. And this segment is brought to you by PC Financial. Get a PC MasterCard credit card by December 31st and earn a $100,000 PC Optimum Points offer. Conditions apply. Visit PCFinancial.ca for details. Let's welcome in Irfan Ghaffar into the conversation, Canucks Insider, the fourth period. Irf! Did you go out and play some pond hockey this afternoon? Is that what, or did you just go out and watch people play hockey this afternoon?
I went out and watched people play hockey. That was the first thing. But like, you know what the crazy thing about that was? Is I've never, like, I lived here all my life. I've been living in downtown for the last maybe like 10 years-ish. And I've never seen it be like that. You're able to go out and, you know, people shoveling and the ice was, it was great. It was pretty cool time, to be honest. I've never seen anything like that here.
It was a really strong flex to have like the city landscape behind it, because usually you see frozen ponds, it's like some random park in who knows where Manitoba, and it's like, yeah, okay, that's cool, and it's an outdoor rink, but I'm just looking at a forest behind it, it's not that great.
Oh yeah,
the whole landscape there was awesome.
Well, I saw 250,000 tweets of outdoor rinks. I thought I might as well tweet one with a really good background on December 30th here.
Okay, so you were enthusiastic, it was very romantic to see all of that. It was just a great Canadiana moment. You didn't shovel snow today, did you?
Absolutely not. Are you crazy?
Thought so, man.
There is absolutely no way. Dude, I wore blazers. I didn't even have snow boots. I didn't even have... What are the shoes you wear, Sat? What are they called?
Bloodstones.
Yeah, no, I didn't even wear those. I was definitely a man of not the people today. I was cold.
Randy, see? You asked that as if you're going to flex. Like, when was the last time you shoveled snow?
This morning, dude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man. Come on.
Get wrecked.
My B. I did not take you for a manual labor kind of guy.
No, man. I shoveled it the
Who,
last
me
year.
Or Randeep?
Randeep?
No. Shoveled yeah. This morning, bro.
I mean, you too, but I was questioning Randeep.
No, I definitely did.
Yeah. I mean, knowing Irf, he probably shows up in some Yeezus sneakers or whatever in like 4 foot snow. It's like, what are you doing? Like,
that's literally kind of what happened. But
I knew it.
Honestly, I almost took a picture with my Tim Hortons coffee, so that would have been full Canada. but I couldn't do that much.
Oh, you were missing a plaid hat or a plaid shirt or something as well.
No, I'm not going that far. I will not do that.
All right, Irf. Well, when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks, we'll get to the on-ice stuff here in a second, but we were just having a conversation, people asking us about, all right, what's going to happen in the front office here? And I know you talked about this as well. Things are kind of on pause a little bit right now, but I do think it's interesting that, you know, as much as Alvin is kind of the guy that people kind of point towards, like, I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that a guy like Paul Maurice may not be considered for some role in the front office. That Botterill, both Botterills could be considered for some role in the front office. So as much as nothing's really happened, I do think there may be a few more balls in the air than what may have been suggested initially.
Yeah, we always, you know, the rumor of the Patrick Alvin and obviously the ties to Jim Rutherford and all that kind of stuff. I've definitely seen it. I've heard it. And it probably should be taken with, you know, some... very, you should take that seriously. But when it comes to other people, I do think that, you know, they want to take a very good look at, you know, maybe diversity hires and maybe things like that, and kind of outside the box and give people jobs and reward people for things that they have done. And, you know, Jennifer Botterill's name has come up a few times now. Obviously nothing has been signed, there's nothing going on there, but that's a name that I would be very interested in seeing what happens in the future. And obviously, you know, Jason Botterill, but he is with the Seattle Kraken right now, and I don't know if the Canucks have asked for permission to speak with him. But, you know, I just wonder if there's something going on there with both of them, which would be very interesting, right? And, you know, obviously the ties with Paul Maurice as well, and I heard you guys mention just before I came on, you know, is it time for him to maybe step away from behind the bench and get into a front office role? And that's totally on Paul Maurice. Like, I think that, you know, there's an opportunity for him to get a job at the National Hockey League coaching level again. You know, his team loved him. People in Winnipeg loved him. The front office loved him. And it was his decision and to step down and things like that. So when you look at it from a Canucks point of view, this is one of those things that I do believe is still going to take some time. I think Jim Rutherford is going to do his due diligence in this. And I think that it's going to be one of those hires that, you know, you may not see happen right away, but it could happen in the next few months or so.
And it's actually a great position for the Canucks to be in right now, because we talk about organizational reputation. And a couple of weeks ago, last month, you know, it was not in a good place. Jim Rutherford comes in, and now we talk about having diversity of thought, diversity across the board in an organization. It feels like, Irf, that this organization, even the last 2-3 weeks, this is a position and a place where people in the hockey world want to be. And it could just be simply that Jim Rutherford effect, where he brings legitimacy immediately.
Yeah, I do agree with you on that, Randy, but I also am at the point where winning does help, right? You string off 8 wins in a row, people are like, all right, this is cool. If Bruce Boudreau came in here and they had lost, you know, they went 2-5 or 3-5 or whatever it was, I think people will be thinking of it a little bit differently. So winning does definitely help the cause. And look, I think that I do agree with you in a sense that people are generally interested and they're looking at this Vancouver Canucks organization and saying, okay, you know what? This isn't the Canucks organization of old. You know, there you have a guy in Jim Rutherford who has a pedigree, who's been around the National Hockey League forever. And then you have a guy, you know, that is behind the bench in Bruce Boudreau that is definitely won. And you see all those sorts of things. So, and then when you look at it from a team aspect, they're playing well, right? So if you're a player and you say, okay, if I'm a free agent at the end of next season, I look at what the Canucks are doing now. Yes, it's small sample size, but what they have coming in the future and down the pipeline, it might be an interesting free agent spot. So I think in all, right now for the Vancouver Canucks, I agree with you in a roundabout way, but I do think, Randy, that the winning definitely does help. That's why we're talking about it the way we are. It's because they are winning, and that's the biggest thing.
Well, it's such a good point, too, because we talk so much, you know, during the offseason and even the course of a season of trying to attract players to Canadian markets. And the worry is always, well, how are they going to deal with the Canadian market? Are they going to love the scrutiny and all that sort of stuff? And to see the upside of what a 7-game winning streak looks like in December and see, oh, my goodness, like it can be actually amazing. In Canadian markets, like you haven't really been able to showcase how great it can be. Even when Montreal was going through the run, there's no crowds in the stands, right? It felt a bit divorced from reality. To see the exact translation to see what winning does in a Canadian market, and in particular this city, I think that's a huge draw all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I agree with you, because I think this market in itself, when they're winning, there might not be a better Canadian market to be in, to be completely honest. You know, I've seen Edmonton and seen Calgary and been a part of the Toronto playoff runs and things like that and seen how it goes. And obviously, you know what Ottawa did years ago. But I really do believe that in this market, in Vancouver, when they're winning, you know what? Everyone's happier, and the way the team is covered, and the way people talk about the team, and you know the morale around the dressing room and ownership and all that. And look, I mean, you can say it in any sporting environment. Winning makes things better, and that's just how it is. So, look, we take this win streak here, and you take it with a grain of salt because they're eventually going to lose a game, and I think that's inevitable at some point, but the way that they're playing, you know, they're grinding out wins, and that's something that we haven't seen for quite some time.
Irfan Ghaffar is our guest, the fourth period on Sportsnet 650, The People Show. And, you know, Irf, when we start looking at the team and what decisions have to be made, you know, one guy that's been talking about so much in this market since being acquired from the Tampa Bay Lightning is JT Miller. And he has one more year left on his contract, but so much discussion around him, right? But I know, Irf, you and I have talked so much, especially this year, about how he's actually been one of the guys behind the scenes who's been a great leader. And really, when times were tough, he was one that was trying to bring everybody together. And there's a real maturity that's happening off the ice as well with him and what he means to the group, and he's a real heartbeat here now, right? And he works hard every single game. But it's a tricky situation. He has 1 year left on his contract beyond this year. I'm getting to the point now, Irf, where I'm like, I think I got to figure out a way to keep him over some other guys. And that doesn't mean you give him a crazy contract, but I'm exploring ways to keep JT Miller as opposed to exploring ways to trade JT Miller. Where do you stand on what should or could happen with JT?
Well, I think they're going to keep him. I think they're going to try and explore every avenue to keep him. And I also think it's up to the player as well at some point, right? And I think that JT Miller really does like being a part of this team. He likes being part of the solution. He sees the young guys. He sees Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes and Bo Horvat and Brock Besser and Nils Höglander and Vasily Podkolzin. And he sees what the potential of this team is, right? And if you're a guy like JT Miller, who has kind of quietly become the heartbeat of this team over this season especially, I think you do want to be here. And I think organizationally, they believe that too. So really, it's about finding a common ground where, you know, you're not going to pay a stupid price for him. And I don't think that JT Miller's a greedy guy, to be completely honest. I think that if you're someone that sees the potential of what this team could be, I think that there's one of those things where you can look at it and say, okay, is this where I want to be? Is this the place that I want to retire? Is this a place where I want my family to be for the next you know, 5-6 years, if it does get to that point, or the next 3 or 4 years, because the window is still wide open for success of this team. I didn't even mention Thatcher Demko's name, right? So you look at that and you kind of see and hope that he's kind of thinking that as well. And I really do believe so. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because you look at a guy like JT Miller, and I kind of equate it to a little bit of the Toronto Maple Leafs, where, you know, Jonathan Tavares is the captain of that team, but you have guys like Austin Matthews, who are the heartbeat, who are the blood and soul of that team. You know, you have Bo Horvat, great captain, great leader, but you look in the room and it's the leadership of JT Miller. It's the vocalness of JT Miller, and it's one of those guys that when he speaks, everyone in that room listens.
Absolutely. And you look at, you know, his experience as well, where he played in a cup final with the New York Rangers, didn't end up winning. And since then, he hasn't really got close. So you wonder about the priorities of, you know, he wants to clearly be, you can tell how he's wired. He cares about winning. He wants to win. But one thing that, you know, we talked about this earlier and I focus on is this year, him playing down the middle, that kind of takes him into maybe even a different tax bracket. The value of a center, all of a sudden, if you and the player and the agent are talking, you're saying, wait a second, hey, the Canucks trust you as a center now. From a dollars and cents perspective, that makes a difference. His value goes up even more on the free agent market.
Yeah. What did Kawhi Leonard say? Board man gets paid, right? So it's not only scorers, right? You got to be versatile. You got to be able to do absolutely everything that you can possibly do to be able to make your money and do that in National Hockey League. Here's my thing about JT Miller. Not many people realize that he was on that North America. Like, that team was stacked at the World Cup of Hockey, and he was on that team. So you could see from, you know, obviously a very young age, and that he was a star in the league to even be included on that team. And also, he admits that when he was in New York, you know, he kind of got lost in it a little bit. He wasn't professional. He wasn't one of those guys. And it took him time to understand how to be a professional in the National Hockey League. And the best thing for the Vancouver Canucks is to have someone that had that happen to them and realize it at such a young age, to be able to be here and mentor those guys, much like Chris Tanev and much like Jacob Markstrom were to the guys a couple years ago.
Hey, Irv, before we let you go, one of the other kind of news items that came out today, and Elliot Friedman tweeted this out, that some consideration that the next two home games for the Canucks could get postponed. It's a game coming up against the Islanders and also against the Sens. And a big reason for that is the capacity limits. We saw in Ontario today that stadiums and events cannot hold more than 1,000 people or 50% capacity. So Leafs games can only have 1,000 fans or even less, depending on what they're looking to do and how safe they want to be. So I think a lot of teams, if they can, want to punt a lot of home games in Canada as far into the season as possible. How do you see that going here, and how much do you think the organization wants to see some of these games get postponed?
Well, I think from an organization point, I mean, if you just look at it simply from an outsider looking in, at 50%, you're not going to make much money. I think that's simple math right there, right? If you don't have 100% of the fans, what how much is really coming in? So there's a two-week window in February where if you look at it, you're able to push concerts or make things move or make things happen differently. Because another thing that people don't realize is a lot of acts that are coming in are canceling their shows because of the 50% capacity right now. So there are dates that are opening up across the board for the Vancouver Canucks to have games being moved and whatnot. So it's an interesting situation, but also Dr. Bonnie Henry is speaking tomorrow morning again. And obviously we know the restrictions are in place until January 18th. So we'll see what she has to say tomorrow morning, along with Adrian Dix as well. But definitely interesting times, but I can see it. And I'm not surprised at all that some of these owners will not want to play games unless their buildings are full.
Yeah, no, I hear you on that, Irv. And we'll see ultimately what the province says and what happens with some of these home games coming up in the month of January. Dude, always a pleasure getting you on the show. Stay warm. And if you go out, please wear appropriate footwear so you don't get cold and freeze your feet. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I'm a betting man, I think Kyle Burrows gets in tonight into the lineup.
Ooh, I like it. All right. Dropping a little bit of a nugget. I like it.
Right. Yeah, I think Kyle Burrows gets in tonight.
And go shovel a driver, will you?
Why? Can you teach me how?
He probably could.
Yeah, I think
you know what? Actually, you know, I saw like the memes of people, excuse me, buying like snow plows or snow blowers and then doing it that way?
Yeah, one of my neighbors has a snowblower. I was like, come on, man. This is like a once-in-a-5-year snowfall, and you're getting a snowblower? Come on. Come on,
shovel. No, it's like a 3- and 5-day snowfall, dude.
No, but it happens like every 5 years. So he spent the money on it, and then that was it. Like, come on, man. In South Van, it doesn't snow like this every year.
It's true.
Well, it depends on where you're at. Like, I'm on a bit of a hill in Van, so I get snow. But if you get back closer to the water, it's not as bad. So,
it's been pretty wild. But I mean, it's nice to see. It's pretty to look at.
It's true,
no doubt. All right, Irf, go enjoy the game. We'll talk soon.
Bye, gentlemen. Be well.
That is Irfan Ghaffar, Canucks insider, the courtesy of the fourth period as well. Always fun having him on the show here. We are going to do a wrong answers only, but there is a message we want to get across to you. The People Show brought to you by Canadian Blood Services. There's an immediate need for blood. There are thousands of open appointments across Canada to fill this month. Book now at blood.ca. I want to get that message across. It's an important time. And if you can, please go ahead and do so. Now, gentlemen, it is time for wrong answers only. And, you know, we had a couple we were thinking about. Like, I was thinking of maybe going with, you know, we saw Bruce Boudreau yesterday. He was wearing a Christmas mask. What will be on Boudreau's next mask was what wrong answers only we were thinking about. But considering what's going on in the city, the amount of snow we have seen, and everything happening here, the wrong answers only, Randeep, is going down a different road.
That's right. Wrong answers only. Things you do on a snow day in Vancouver. I'm going to start this off because our friend Matt Lee was on the show about an hour ago. Go for a jog. I'm pretty sure. Okay, how many bones would you break if you're actually going out for a jog right now? Because I was walking, you know, I'm at the station here today. I'm pulling a solo act. And I almost fell like three times. So wrong answers only. Going for a jog is totally a wrong answer. I would probably break a bone or two.
I don't know, man. There's people that do the polar bear swim.
Yeah.
That's just like that's kind of dangerous. That's like running by water. That's kind of dangerous.
Like, getting in the water is not the issue. It's like falling on your ass and breaking a bone is probably the thing I'm worried about.
And the running part is where it becomes more risky.
Yeah, the cold, yes. I don't care about
it. A walk in the park or walk in the snow is fine, but a bit of a run significantly increases the chances that you're going to fall and you get hurt.
Absolutely. We got Krez from Coquitlam coming in with, go to Wreck Beach on a snow day. Clothed, I assume.
Yeah.
Or not.
You probably would be extra clothed.
I've always, my northern roots coming out here, and by roots I mean my 5 years I lived up north. Mm. The slippery surface never bothered me. Like, you just slightly lean forward and you'll be all right, Randy. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
My
issue is my knee and slippery surfaces. That's just my ACL tearing again. That's just,
Yeah, dude. I lived in Ottawa for a winter. I survived one winter. I still can't. The slippery sidewalks and all that? No, man. I'm done. We got another one coming here. Night Street Mike coming in with wrong answers only. Do the gross grind.
Man, you know what?
Could you do it? Or is that just like a straight slide?
No.
You're coming all the way down.
No. You can actually do it. No. You can do it in the wintertime. You do it with snowshoes.
Yeah, good point.
I'm dead serious. You can do the snowshoe grind.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, people do it in the wintertime all the time. They wear snowshoes and they trek up the grind.
New West Jess coming with this one. Wrong answers only. Know how to drive. Yeah, that driving into the radio station today. Man, some questionable decisions on the road today. Please, please drive safely.
Yeah, please. Know how to drive? Yes, that's one. Please,
go for
please.
A bike ride from Dan coming in.
Honestly, the bike lanes are clear. And hey, listen, I'm not even hating. I see people get mad about that. Okay, and hey, listen, I am not one to defend Vancouver City Council and the mayoral office and all that. You know me, how I feel about politicians, right? But I'm also a man of logic and reason. And the vehicle, the little quad that clears the bike lanes is like a small quad vehicle. It's almost like a golf cart, right? And it has a little plow, and it just zips around and does everything really quickly, right? Like, it's not that hard to do it. Right, it's right. But it's a small little thing. That thing cannot really plow sidewalks and definitely not main roads. And the thing is, to operate that vehicle, you don't need to have a truck license. You don't have to go and get somebody to come in and plow the roads for you. You have to go through all that stuff. So honestly, plowing the bike lane makes sense. It's an easy thing to do. And people use the bike lane for business. Couriers use it. As much as I get frustrated with the bike lanes at times, plowing the bike lane logically makes sense. You shouldn't be that mad about it. Be mad at other things. Don't be mad at that.
Hey, shouts to the one cyclist who was actually biking today on Kingsway. Props to you, man. I don't know who you are, but you did it. I hope you made it safely to your destination. I would never do that, but props to you.
Cyclists in the snow, this is a deep cut. Always remind me of the dad from Calvin and Hobbes. I don't know if anyone
I remember that.
He's always like, oh yeah, but riding a bike builds character. And it's like doing it in the snow. It always reminds me of that.
Yeah, man, that's a lot of character you got in the snow. We got a couple of these texts coming in. Joda and Mike in Tawasin coming in with, cruising the seawall in your Beamer. Shots fired at Dan. It's a slippery drive.
I just never should have tweeted that.
Mike and Tawasin cruising the seawall in the Beamer. Yeah.
Yeah. This one, Keith the Water Guy. Sit on a patio and have a cold craft brew.
Okay.
You know what? If you're dressed warm enough, that brew is going to be extra cold outside. That's not too bad, actually.
Boys, this is my theory. Patio season is all year round. It's a mentality rather than actual weather-related. I sit in the snow if the patio's heated. I'm sitting on it.
Yeah, they're heated nowadays.
Yeah, I'm sitting on it.
You open to it.
You had a zig when everyone else zags. And so, like, my theory has always been, in, like, under 7-degree temperature, go get a Slurpee because nobody's getting them. And it's like, that's when you get the best molecular consistency. And so it's like, hey, this is the best Slurpee you're going to get because nobody wants one. No one's going to go to a patio in -4-degree weather.
Exactly.
Why not?
That might be the best beer you ever have in your life.
Exactly.
Bruv, were you the dude walking around with a Slurpee on the streets that people were tweeting about?
Yeah, Bix wearing shorts.
Probably.
Too.
Probably. Was the guy wearing shorts?
Probably. Shorts and a Adidas hoodie.
Yeah. Work on your tan, 650, 650. Yeah,
you know what? It was sunny today. You probably could.
It was. Hey, man, I've got the career tan, man. It stays in style season after season.
Yeah, I think all three of us are good with tans.
Hey, yeah. I qualify too. My tan stands all year.
Yeah,
I'll show you my tan lines.
Yeah. Yeah, this takes all year.
That might be an HR violation.
Yeah, I'm in the same studio as you, Eddie. I don't want to see any timelines, I'll be honest.
I saw some kids bumper sliding today. That used to be fun. That's Duncan. That's a right answer.
Yeah, that's yeah. Yeah. Shouts to those kids, but that's not the submission we're looking for, Duncan.
Yeah. Chris and Langley, wrong answers only. Operate a snowplow in the city of Vancouver. Seems like to be a wrong answer.
Jesse and Anima, go play a round of golf. Do people still try to play golf in the cold weather?
What kind of... Well, I mean, cold weather. I mean, weather. You can't play in snow unless you have, like, you know, fluorescent golf balls. They're going to get buried in snow. You can't play in snow.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Jeff from Mission. Things to do in Vancouver on a snow day. Rear end someone. No, man. This isn't bumper cars.
Come on, man. Please.
Keep it safe.
Vicky from Poco. Go for a quick drive on the seawall in your Blundstones and white Beamer. Anyone see Riccio today?
He's driving on the harbor front in Toronto right now.
Is he driving back home for next week? Is you know, taking the number one all the way from Toronto or from Woodbridge to here? Is that his move?
Just slamming Spros every 50 kilometers.
Yeah. Aftar G, listen to my dad tell me about his uphill walk to school both ways in the Prince George winters during the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
That's strong. I hate to admit how old I was until it clued into me, like, uphill both ways. Wait a second, that doesn't make any sense.
And they'd always add in a layer as well. My dad would say, oh, yeah, we didn't even have shoes. We'd have to wear it, like, barefoot. I'm like, how does that even work? You're adding way too much here, man. Like, he's trying to push my limits to see when I'll actually realize he's BSing.
Whoa, Keith the Water Guy. FYI, there was another car on the seawall today. Saw the pic on Reddit. Not a Beamer, though. So, okay, we can say that's not Dan Riccio unless he's lying about his location.
Unless there's an imitator now out there that's trying to be a Dan Riccio.
You mean the Dan Riccio from Imitator from Hawaii?
Yes, the parallel world. This is like the man in the high castle. Like there's another Dan Riccio out there in another world that's come back to this world.
We live in a multiverse. Okay, anyways, we're getting away from it too much. All right, thanks for all the submissions. We'll try to hit some other ones. Wrong answers only. What do you do on a snow day like this in the city of Vancouver? All right, we'll get back to more Canucks talk and hockey talk on the other side here on Sportsnet 650. Get your submissions in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650, as we get you set for Canucks and LA Kings. Now, in the NFL... there's some stuff happening with Ben Roethlisberger. This could be his final season. We'll talk about that coming up. And also, there's a game right now between the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Is that maybe one of the better rivalries in hockey right now? We'll discuss. As the People Show rolls on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650. It is the People Show, brought to you by Canadian Blood Services. There's an immediate need for blood. There are thousands of open appointments across Canada to fill this month. Book now at blood.ca. Satyar Shah, Randeep Janda, and Bick Nazar on Sportsnet 650. keep getting your thoughts into our text inbox, 650-650. A lot of fun today. And, you know, every time we do something, you know, for listener submissions, not saying just saying, or wrong answers only, guys, there is always Dan Riccio slander that comes in, right? It always happens. 100%. It always comes in. Now, every once in a while, I kind of feel like, you know what, guys? Maybe we're too tough on Dan. Maybe we spend too much time joking about Dan. And maybe it veers too much to the other side, and we should be nicer and kinder. And maybe it's not fun for him to always be the butt end of jokes. And then, on Twitter, he will just dunk on himself. He'll post a photo of his TFC days where he's standing with a bunch of tall individuals like Craig Forrest, and he looks very, very small next to him. And he says, hey, look at this picture of me. Isn't it great? So the man roasts himself all the time.
Unprovoked.
So I shouldn't really feel bad about it.
He's a habitual line stepper. Sometimes he's thrown across the line. Sometimes he steps across it himself. It's kind of who Dan is,
that's
guys.
The thing. I don't know. I know, Bick, you've been trying to be extra nice to Dan on the show the last couple of days and saying good things about him. But, I mean, does the man not ask for it?
I feel like... That moment in Fresh Prince when Hillary is, like, bribed by Will to say nice things about him. I feel like I'm that moment right now in speak about Dan. Dan is the pinnacle of manliness and just a great broadcaster and friend.
And then every time Carlton taps the cup or the glass, she's got to slap him across the face, right? It's a great episode.
Yes. Yes. Whatever he lacks in stature, he makes up for with a grand personality and just being a great guy.
Man.
And that was a lie. Yeah. Never mind. All right. But I just had to bring that up about Riccio, because every once in a while I do feel bad. And I see him post a photo of himself. Just check it out. @DanRiccio_. Put recent photo of himself. And he kind of pokes fun at how small he looks compared to other people. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I guess he wants to.
At least I brought the Chara photo. Like, I forced it because, you know, we kind of brought it up, and Eddie Lack ended up bringing up in a part of a bet. This one was like, hey, man, I'm at home. I found this really bad picture of me, and I'm just going to open it up to the world. That was all Riccio. He can't blame anybody.
You know how we all get kind of comfortable in our realities and even things that, you know, aren't great? We're like, hey, at least I'm comfortable in this because it's familiar to me. I guess that's just a familiar comfort thing for Dan Riccio. All right, we're having a lot of fun with the Dan Riccio. We'll be back next week. We look forward to having him back on the show, and appreciate everybody having fun here on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, interacting with the show for Wrong Answers Only. We'll try to get back to some of those submissions as the show goes on here. We'll talk plenty of hockey as the show does kind of develop and we move forward, and we have the pregame show and the roundtable coming up at 6:30 with Batch and Hershey as well. So a lot of Canucks talk coming up. Now, one of the storylines that kind of broke today, guys, in the NFL, and it shouldn't really come at a big surprise, really, because we all kind of knew that Ben Roethlisberger's entering the end of his career. And we actually kind of wondered last year when they lost to the Browns in the postseason that maybe that was the final game. We remember watching Roethlisberger and Pouncey sitting on the bench crying after losing that game in the postseason. You thought maybe that's the end. And Roethlisberger came out and said that this is trending towards being his final year in the NFL. Now, there are two things here. There's Big Ben's legacy we can maybe talk about later on. But as far as what he is as a quarterback, what the Steelers can do, would you even want him back if you were the Steelers? Is it not time to try to find somebody else? And considering how much he's struggled, are you not better off having an average quarterback over Ben Roethlisberger at this point?
I think so, right? Like, look at the last 2 years. The question is, could this be it? And it needs to be it. The last 2 years, he's been tough to watch in that offense. It's been really limiting what those weapons can do, what that team can do. So to me, I think moving on, in this scenario, because he is seen as a legend in Pittsburgh, and you want the individual to call his own shot, it looks like he's going to be able to make that call himself. But guys, that offense has been painful to watch at times, right? You've got Chase Claypool. You've got, you know, some strong wide receivers in other players, in Deontay Johnson, and pieces that are not being utilized the way that they should be, because at certain stretch of the season, he's got a noodle arm. So they have to move off of him because they do have some really high-impact players. It's a tough thing when you got to say goodbye, but the last 2 years, Vic, watching him play and how he limits that offense, it's time.
Give him a big hug and say, wow, we had a lot of fun here together for 16, 17 years. good luck with whatever you're going to do next. Like, Case Keenum would be better for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now than Ben Roethlisberger. And it's not just, hey, he's a better quarterback or something like that. It's Case Keenum at his cost versus Ben Roethlisberger making as much money as he does. Because, you know, they still need a couple of things on that team as a whole. They could use a couple of more cornerbacks. They could use some infusion of talent on the offensive line. And Ben Roethlisberger not making as much money as he is would go a long way to helping all of those things. And if you get in a young quarterback, I know we're going to have this conversation about the veteran QB market that might materialize for in the offseason, but it strikes me as a team that wouldn't jump into that as attractive as an organization as it can be, because they're always about like the infinity game, right? Mm-hmm. It's Bill Cowher, and then we'll go to Mike Tomlin. We've got someone for the next 35 years. Like, there's been three coaches for that organization in their history, and like, this is what they do. They play the long game constantly. So I'd be interested to see if they would dip their toes into, say, you know, an Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or whoever might be available. But they do strike me as a team that's ready to bring in a young quarterback and start building around them all over again.
That is their MO as an organization, right? It is to be patient, think about the long game, and, you know, have continuity with your coaching staff, your staff as much as possible, and then develop your quarterback and have him be there for a long period of time. But considering how the quarterback market and the draft is shaping up, their record this season, that might have to be something they figure out in a year or two. But one of the things about the Steelers is they don't like taking a big step back. And when you look at some of the players they do have, yeah, they have some holes, but they also have some good, very talented players in the primes of their careers that you don't want to be punting on, right? So I do find it fascinating about this team. And one thing that I always am leery of is counting out the Steelers or predicting their demise. And perhaps that is PTSD as being a Browns fan and seeing them just, you know, be dominant in the AFC North year in and year out and always be competitive year in and year out. But whatever they do, veteran quarterback or young quarterback, I'm not expecting that team to be a club next season that wins like five or six games. This year, this is pretty much, you know, their floor, right? 7-7-1. Maybe they go, they win eight games this year. Maybe they stay at seven wins this year. But it's not a disaster season. They're never going to be an organization that does that. So when you look at their quarterback, can you actually find a quarterback who is a bit of an upgrade here this offseason on Ben Roethlisberger? And if you do, how much does that change the outlook all of a sudden for the team?
Yeah, and really that's going to be the question. Because, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is the name that everybody's going to be talking about as the season nears an end and eventually teams get eliminated from the playoffs. Russell Wilson, I know a quote came out today, him saying, "I know for me, I hope it's not my last game in Seattle, but at the same time, I know it won't be my last game in the NFL." So there you go. Start chatting about that one as well, because there's another quarterback answering those same questions about playing in a certain market. Gives them the high end, but you're paying a lot. You're paying a huge price to get a Russell Wilson. Is Pittsburgh in a spot where they can give up all of those, you know, assets? Because, to your point, they need to address other areas too. So you can't necessarily sell the farm for a player that's coming in with a hefty salary. I look to free agency and say, is this a team that makes a push for a player like Jameis Winston? Because Winston is an upgrade on what they have. He's got a cannon for an arm. He has shown improvements this year. Was it 100%, you know, conclusive and great? No, not necessarily. But he did show some things in New Orleans. Is that a landing spot for him? Would that be a fit where you know what he brings? You know he's going to be an upgrade on Big Ben, but you're not going to have to give up futures for him. You can just pay him money.
I'm trying to think of that in my head, how hilarious it would be for the most stable franchise in the league.
When you don't have choices, most, what are you supposed to do?
To get the most unstable quarterback possible. And look, I'm not saying that's a dumb idea. I'm just like, wow, that would be so weird to see this franchise do that. And yet, like, I might be there with you. That's not a, like, they are out of options, right? And mm-hmm. like the cap situation is going to play a role in this too, of what they can free up and everything like that. They should have a decent amount of money next year, I think, if I got this correct. Yeah, they're okay with 40 some odd million dollars available to them. So Yeah, I think for them, I think like waiting a year might just be better. Like build everything up, use your draft assets, get some offensive linemen in, keep building that defense. I know you have Minkah Fitzpatrick, I know you have TJ Watt, and those guys are prime players. But if you build everything up around them and get like some offensive linemen with a year under their belts, and then you're ready. It's like, hey, bring in this young quarterback. Like go back to when Ben Roethlisberger first came in. It was like, hey, just protect the ball. Look at the team here. We will win. You just have to protect the ball. That, to me, is like kind of the mindset. If they can rebuild that, I feel like that's kind of the Steeler method.
Yeah, and, you know, we have some comments here on the text inbox. This one, a question mark. Newton, can he be a one-year stopgap? I mean, potentially, right? I mean, there's a baseline. The ceiling's not very high, but the floor, I wouldn't say it's high, but it's at an acceptable level. And that's a guy like, say, Newton, perhaps even Jameis Winston if you go short-term. But Jameis might get a few years because of how he played in New Orleans this year, despite having the ACL and MCL injury, right? But even guys, you mentioned Case Keenum. I think he's a right now, I'd rather have Keenum start for the Browns over Baker. And that's not just being mad at Baker. That's because Baker is also injured and he's struggling right now. He's not playing healthy. I'd rather have Case playing. Like, I feel like he'd give the team a better chance. And there are other guys. Like, even Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt this year. Could he come in for a year and give you a little bit of something? So I do think it's interesting when you look at some of those one-year options. Now, the big one, and there are two big ones, Russell Wilson, which was brought up. And this one, a question or a comment on a text inbox, Dunbar Lumber. Deshaun Watson to the Steelers, I'm calling it now. Deshaun Watson comes with a lot of issues, especially with the lawsuit of the women alleging sexual misconduct for him in the past, and a lot of cases against him. The Steelers have been an organization that has obviously stuck with Roethlisberger through stuff, but is that something you think they're willing to go down? Would they go down that avenue? I think they'd probably explore Russell Wilson more than they would explore Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, you're paying a price for both of those guys, right? And Deshaun Watson, what do we know from the negotiations, or at least the chat with the Dolphins, was that it seemed like the Texans weren't willing to budge off of a pretty premium price. So if you are paying near premium, I'm going for the option that I look at and say, at least, you know, you've got, you know, with Russell Wilson with weapons, and you do have a situation where you're saying, okay, you're trading for a guy that doesn't have that baggage, doesn't have those question marks, doesn't have, you know, there's a lot being asked of Deshaun Watson right now, and nobody really knows the answer where's that at right now. That, to me, is a very dangerous, you know, player to pick up right now, because I don't know where he's at. So if you're paying a premium, I'm going Russell Wilson. But beyond that, I go back to the Steelers and say, are they a team in a position to pay a premium? Because if you take away those assets, if they're multiple first-rounders, this team's going to take a hit. Like, they need some of those first-rounders to actually hit and contribute, whether it's on the O-line, whether it's in the secondary in the next 1 or 2 years. So, you know, if you're paying that premium, you're probably a little bit happier and a little bit more willing to do it for a Russell Wilson, where Deshaun Watson, man, if I'm a team in need right now and first-round picks would go a long way, I'm not trading him from him, just given where he's at and all the question marks that come with him.
Yeah, and the Steelers, I mean, they're, again, we've waxed about them, how they've been such a great franchise. And even when they've had players that have had issues, Ben Roethlisberger being one, Antonio Brown being one, like, it's a little bit different, I think, when it's people from within your organization and you've been dealing with them from day one. I don't know if I look at the Steelers as a team that's going to go out of their way to bring drama into their organization.
Well, that's the thing, right? And I mean, O'Fuzz says, if Pitt goes for a QB that's a veteran, it will be Rodgers. Tomlin and him have a love affair. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there, but even Rodgers comes with a lot of drama and a lot of high maintenance. And they went through the Antonio Brown situation, too. And I know quarterback and receiver is different, but I do think with everything that happened, also with Ben in the past and some other things, I just think that makes them even more reluctant to go after people that they have to manage a lot going. Like, it goes against the Steeler way in so many ways.
Yeah, and Sat, remember, let's go back in Big Ben and Todd Haley, right? When he was the OC there, they didn't have exactly a great relationship either. So there is a bit of a precedent there where, you know, you do have a situation where there has been friction in Aaron Rodgers' career as well. And what do we hear about Rodgers? West Coast. He wants to go to the West Coast. So if he's a free agent, if there's a position where he's able to call his shot, if I'm Derek Carr, I'm worrying, because that's probably the spot he ends up on, or somewhere on the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And, you know, one quick thing before we get out of here on the NFL thing. Bick, are you sad to see Russell Wilson's last two games as a Seahawk?
Am I sad? Not as much as I think people would think I would be. How about that?
Yeah. Wow. Times have changed. Times have indeed changed. Bick is over the Russell Wilson era. Who'd have thought?
Not me. Not yeah. me. Hey, man.
Life like, comes at you fast.
Make a throw in the middle of the field, and then people will be like, oh, you know what? It's fine.
Hey,
it's
Bick,
fine.
This no is what doubt. Happens when Dan Reacher latches onto your fan base. It just goes to hell real
oh,
quick.
Oh, my goodness. The amount of messages I have gotten from listeners or friends of ours or colleagues that have been like, oh, man, Riccio really screwed you over.
That's the guy.
You can keep him.
It's been unreal, actually. It's been unreal.
It is hilarious. As soon as he leaves, the Dolphins also get good. Who would have thought? Anyways, all right, a lot of good questions and submissions coming into the text inbox. I love this one. You guys realize there's a Canucks game in a couple hours, right? We've literally done 2 hours. Well, no, sorry. We have done 2 hours and 30 minutes of Canucks talk already, pretty much, all show. This was the only 10 minutes we got away from Canucks talk, show.
I'm sorry you didn't get into your car at the right time. I really apologize.
Yeah. Really apologize.
And we talked to Sonny Sachdevov, his Garland feature. That I feel so bad. It was such a great article, and it came out last weekend, and then the COVID thing happened, and it's like, oh, we can't even talk to Sonny about it till next week. And, yeah, no, we've been all in on the Canucks. Where you been? Don't be calling us out.
Patrick O'Neill talk about the Kings in the game. We had Irfan Gafar. We've had a lot of Canucks talk. And we're going to get back to more Canucks talk on the other side. Texter, don't worry, my friend. We'll talk about your Vancouver Canucks in detail. Pregame show gets going officially at 6:30 as well. We'll talk some Canucks on the other side. Yar Halak gets a start between the pipes tonight. Not Thatcher Demko. What do we think of that decision? How can that help and impact the Canucks tonight to look for their 8th straight win? And we'll talk a bit about a big rivalry brewing in Florida between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. Is that the best rivalry in hockey right now, or at least one of the ones you're most interested to watch? We'll discuss as the People Show rolls on. And courtesy of Shoppers Drug Mart, the Love You by Shoppers Drug Mart program is committed to advancing women's health. Visit shoppersdrugmart.ca/loveyou to learn more. More of the People Show coming up on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.